Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Chris Atwood. I'm the features editor for Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise magazine and co-author of The Passion Test, The Effortless Path to Discovering Your Destiny, which will be released on May 10th. So all of you keep your eyes and ears open for that. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Passion Series. And in this series, twice a month, we connect with people who've been incredibly successful at living their passions in their own lives. We talk to them about how they did that, how they discovered their passions, what sort of obstacles they ran into, and how they overcame them so that you can get clear on your own passions, discover your own unique gifts, and begin living those and giving those in the world. Tonight we have a wonderful, wonderful guest, a man who is the embodiment of play and having fun, and who, in fact, as you'll see later in the program, one of his major efforts is called Your Winning Season. And so it's appropriate that the quote that I begin with tonight from Walter Cronkite is aligned with that idea of that life is about having fun. And Walter Cronkite said that I can't imagine a person becoming a success who doesn't give this game of life everything he's got. So that is what we're about here on these passion interviews, is to help you give this game of life everything you've got. And tonight we have the great pleasure of interviewing Dave Buck, who is the CEO of Coachville, probably the largest association of coaches in the world. And Dave took over from a man who is a legend in the coaching world, a man named Thomas Leonard, who passed away in 2003 and handpicked Dave to take over as his successor. Thomas had previously founded virtually every major coaching organization, made coaching as over and above athletic coaching, made coaching generally something that is accessible to every one of us and can help every person to be a success in their own lives. Dave Buck is an MBA. He's a professional consultant. He's a coach and more than 10 years, as he says, solopreneur. His professional coaching practice began in 1997, and he's the founder of the Personal Brand Mastery Program for solopreneurs. He is a man who's, as you'll see tonight, he's enthusiastic, he's insightful, he's practical, he's a successful consultant and software trainer, and he is someone who is a man whose life is on fire all the time. I have the pleasure of knowing Dave as another member of the Transformational Leadership Council, which was created and founded by Jack Canfield of Chicken Soup fame. And Dave brings that joyfulness to everything he does. In fact, he was a former adjunct MBA professor teaching the joy of business, as well as being a soccer player, a former soccer coach at Seton Hall University, and he's a true lover of life. So, and tonight, I am so pleased and honored that we have co-hosting this interview and conducting the interview with Dave, Ridgely Goldsboro, who, and all of you will want to go at some point and check out Ridgely's website at www.modesttomillions.com. Ridgely has sometimes been called the new Napoleon Hill, and he is embarking on a five-year program of study that is where he is interviewing billionaires, multimillionaires, incredibly successful people, and bringing their knowledge to people like you and me so that we can learn those skills and that knowledge to create any level of abundance in our life that we choose. So, Ridgely, are you with us?
Absolutely, and happy to be here.
Great. Thank you so much. So I'm going to go ahead and turn the call over to you.
Well, thank you very much, Chris, and welcome everybody all over the world. What a delight to hear so many fresh, vibrant, dynamic, passionate voices calling from all corners of the globe. And it is indeed a great pleasure to spend some time this evening with all of you, and most especially with our guest, Mr. Dave Buck. Dave, are you on the line?
I am indeed.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and what an incredible storied history that you have had. His story, Dave's story, from soccer player to soccer coach to MBA to consultant. Let's just start at the beginning before we go. Obviously, passion leading the way, the charge, if you will, of Dave Buck's life. How was that to go from soccer player to soccer coach to MBA? How'd that happen?
Well, wow. It's a strange thing, but it's great to be here, first of all, with so many folks, and I was with this delightful group, a couple months back interviewing my good friend Ivan Meisner, and it's great to be back. And it's not to kind of play into the whole thing about passion, but I have to say it actually is about passion.
Well, that's good.
It happens to be about passion. I was 12 years old, and I was riding my bike around the neighborhood, and I all of a sudden heard these people screaming, and I was like, wow, what is that? So I had my bike, and I just rode over. It was in the direction of my school. So I rode over to the school, and there were some kids on a field playing this game. I had never seen the game before, and they were playing soccer, and they had started a soccer league in my town. Now, when I was young, the soccer leagues were mostly created by folks that had immigrated into the States from Europe. So all the European moms and dads had gotten together and created a soccer league. Now, I'm pure-blood American. On my mom's side, we've been in America since the second crossing of the Mayflower, right? So we're about as American as you can get.
The right? Buck stops here, right?
Exactly. It's like, we are American. So my dad, we never played soccer. It was baseball, basketball, football. But for some reason, I saw soccer, and I don't know what happened, but it got into me. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know why or how, but this game got into me somehow. The moment I saw it, I was like, wow, I want to learn how to play this game. And I asked my mom for a soccer ball for Christmas, and I just started playing. And somehow, my love of that game has carried me through so many experiences. So I loved the game. I played the game since I was 12. Now, most kids have played since they were younger, but I was kind of a late starter, but I just played, and I played all through high school. And then I went to a college, and I mostly picked a college where I knew I could play. Right, so
right.
Yeah, you know, the computer science degree was like a afterthought. It's like, well, whatever I can do, as long as I can play soccer, I'm going. You know, so it was just a weird thing. The game carried me through, and just my love of playing the game. And then I started coaching when I was in my teens. I started coaching younger players, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds. And so it was right then, it's like the game of soccer, really, my passion for that game and love of playing the game and the art of the game and the creativity of it really got me going in terms of my self-expression, athleticism, but then also coaching others. I really loved coaching young guys playing the game, and so that really was a precursor for what was to come. Now, the other thing, I was a quirky kid. I loved sports, but for some reason, I also loved business. I don't know why, but I was a little kid, and I would read the business pages of the paper. I was a weird kid, for sure, I know. But I just had this love of business. So I love sports and I love business. I went to college so I could play soccer. Then I started doing work in the computer field, and I realized that computers was a good way to earn a living, but it really wasn't my love. I didn't love computers. I loved business. So I decided to go back to school. I went to night school for, you know, 6 years to get my MBA. And but all the while I was working, basically I worked so that I could play soccer. I mean, that's really what it was. I would go to games anywhere. I would join leagues all over the place. So I would work and do my work in computers, getting my MBA at night, playing in soccer leagues. And those passions really have carried through my life. And eventually I moved out of the computer field and just really was an MBA, doing a lot of consulting work, but always playing soccer, coaching soccer. And so it's like the love of business and the love of this game of soccer, these two passions that just really have fueled me into what I do now, which is coach.
Well, let me ask you a question, because this is, I think, perhaps for many people on the line, the people in other parts of the world understand this better than we do here in the United States, or at least in North America. And that is, you today are the CEO of the largest coaching association in the world. And soccer is the biggest sport in the world by far. Here in this country, in the United States and in North America at least, we truly don't have a real understanding of what a fan addict truly is, as compared to in other parts of the world. And I'm wondering if you see any correlation between the immense passion that this sport has all over the world and the immense passion that you now feel, and translating that into not only coaching soccer, but coaching many, many people as to how to be successful.
But it's a really good point. There's something about the game of soccer. It's a very expressive game. It's not a formatted game like football where there's specific plays. It's like a freestyle game, and so it has great athleticism, great creativity, and it does spark incredible passion all over the world. And I've traveled around the world. It's funny, I've traveled around the world coaching and consulting, and I always find a game, right? So wherever I am, I could be in Mexico, I could be in London, I could be, you know, anywhere in the world, I will find a game to go to. And I often will find games to play in the park. Wherever there's a park, there's soccer happening, I'm out there, and I'm playing, and then I'm going to watch games and then also doing my work. So it's always those things together. Now, the thing is, it is something that gets into you. It gets into your heart and soul. And, you know, I was thinking earlier about my passions and like, okay, where are my passions? I know I'm passionate about the game. I know I'm passionate about business. I know I'm passionate about life, about exploring life fully. And I think that's what led me into coaching because, you know, I like probably many people on the call, I'm a self-help, I wouldn't say junkie because I don't like the word, but I'm really into like the self-growth, personal development. I've read all the books. I've read, you know, Zig Ziglar and Jack Canfield and, you know, Earl Nightingale and all the greats of thought. I've read them. I've gone to the workshops. So I've been pursuing personal growth for many years. And so after a while, you get tired of just working on yourself and you want to work on some other folks, right? So
absolutely.
I think that's where I got into coaching because, you know, you can only go so far learning about life and exploring your own life. But when you start coaching people and trying to help them be successful, that really taps into your being in a whole different way because you have to explore yourself even more fully when you start trying to help others because every person you try to help play their game and win their game, which is what coaching is all about ultimately. Coaching, whether it's life coaching, soccer coaching, business coaching, it doesn't matter what kind of coaching. Coaching is about winning. Coaching is about helping people, or I say helping players play to win and win their game, whatever their game is. And when you start pursuing winning and playing to win, that's where you really tap into your passion because playing to win means giving yourself fully to the game, whatever the game is, whether it's the game of having a great relationship with your spouse, the game of building a business, being a leader in your church, being having an impact in your community, whatever your game is, giving yourself to it fully requires that you really explore yourself and work through all of the things, you know, your thoughts, feelings, emotions, all the things, the inner game, as we like to call it. The inner game is the game. That's where the juice is. That's where we get stuck, but that's also where the joy is. When you start coaching and exploring the inner game of others, it reflects back to you what's happening inside of you. So what happens is you start coaching 5, 10, 20, 30 people. Then you start seeing yourself more and more fully. And I often say becoming a coach is the most intense and rigorous personal development program ever invented.
Well, it's interesting that you would say that. And, of course, there are never any coincidences. Even if you look at the word coincidence, it's coincidence, two incidents happening at the same time. And to think that we would come together at Chris Atwood's invitation this evening to be on this call together, and my background is so similar, it's ridiculous. It's just almost astounding. I grew up in Europe. My parents donated the soccer field for the village that I lived in.
Wow.
My stepfather was the coach, traveled all over the place playing soccer, enjoying that, went to law school at night like you did the MBA thing, and just on and on and on. And in fact, as you were just suggesting, moving into how rigorous it is, how to take the game to the next level, I will admit to being a self-help junkie, a self-growth junkie. I'll just go there. I think it was Mark Victor Hansen in his book, How to Achieve Total Prosperity, that said prosperity principle number 10 is teach what you most want to learn and need to learn, which is exactly what you just suggested, that once you get into that coaching level, that's when you raise your own game to the highest level and get even more passionate about life. And in that regard, tell us how you got involved with Thomas Leonard, the founder of Coachville, and what role passion played in developing that incredible relationship.
Well, Thomas was a blessing in my life for sure, and he passed away just a little over 3 years ago. it's really an incredible story, and it is a story that's fueled by a passion for life. So I'll give you the quick version, because I could. The story has many nuances, but it's a great story. I was doing a lot of work with Landmark Education. They do the forum, and I was really active with them, and I was leading some of their programs. And a group of us that did some programs together decided to start an investment club, so we could have a reason to hang out with each other outside of, you know, doing the work at Landmark. So we were in this investment club, and one day my buddy Rocky says to me, "Dave, you know, I know you love soccer and soccer coaching and business, but I just heard about this thing called life coaching. I think you should check it out." I'm like, life coaching? What's life coaching? That sounds great. So I went to the website for Coach University and checked it out, and there it was. And you know, within 15 days, I paid for the full tuition, signed up, and was in pursuit of becoming a professional life coach. You know,
wow.
Time. It's like, okay, I'm doing this. But I don't do things small. I kind of like to do things big. So not only did I start at Coach University, but I decided I was going to become a natural health coach, because one of my passions in life also is natural health. I've cured myself of hypoglycemia, which is a blood sugar disorder, and I learned tons about health, and I thought, wow, I want to help other people use natural means to become healthy, and that's where I'm going to focus my coaching. So I decided, well, if there's a university for coaching called Coach University, there should be a university for health called Health University. So I decided to start Health University, make a big splash in the coaching world. Well, I was a little bit ahead of myself, which sometimes I am. So I start this Health University, and I start traveling all over the country to meet experts in different parts of natural health and get them excited and get them fired up to come and become a part of Health University. And the other thing about Coach University that I loved was the whole notion of teleclass learning, like we're doing right here on this phone right now with people all over the world. I did my first teleclass in January of 1997, and I was just stunned by the opportunity to connect with people all over the world. Now people do it all the time, but back in 1997, it was quite a novelty. So I thought, I'm going to start a phone-based university for people all over the world to pursue natural health. I start traveling the country, the U.S., looking for experts. I didn't know much about teaching by phone, but I was studying and learning it rapidly, teaching my new instructors, and I was having some success, but something wasn't working well. There was not enough people signing up for my program, and I thought, I'm missing something, so let me go to the expert. So I decided to phone up Thomas Leonard. So I get his phone number. I knew he was the owner of Coach University, so I call him up, and he doesn't answer the phone, so I left him a message. I said, "Hey, Thomas. It's Dave Buck. You don't know me, but I'm a student at Coach University, and I started Health University. It's not going so well, and I really could use your help. Please call me back." So he didn't call me back, but I got a bug inside of me that I'm going to reach this guy. So I put a weekly reminder in my ACT database, which is one of these personal calendar programs.
Right, sure.
Right. So I put a weekly item in my ACT database every Thursday at noon, call Thomas Leonard. So every Thursday at noon, this thing would pop up on my screen, and I would call him. And he would answer the phone, and I'd leave him a message. Now, this went on for about 8 or 9 weeks, right? So you might even say at this point, I would be in the category of a stalker. So I just kept calling the guy, and he wouldn't call me back. So I was talking with someone else at Coach U one day, one of the people that helps out at the school, and I said, "You know, I'm trying to call Thomas. He's not calling me back. I don't know what's going on." She said, "Well, I happen to know that he's in London, and I'm not supposed to give out this number, but for some reason I feel like I'm supposed to tell you this." So even though she almost got fired for doing this, she gave me the phone number of where he was staying in London, because he was starting up Coach U in England. So I never had even phoned England before. I didn't even know how to do it. I had to call the operator and ask, "How do you call England?" So I get this information. I call his hotel, and he answers the phone. And I said, "Hey, Thomas, it's Dave Buck." And he says, the first words he ever said to me, "Dave Buck, you have got to stop calling me." the first thing he ever said to me.
Right, right.
So I said, oh, you know, I'm sorry. I've been a little bit persistent, you know, understatement. And I said, you know, but I'm doing this Help You, and I'm having these different challenges, and this has happened. I started explaining the whole story. And he said to me, you know, Dave, you sound like a great guy, but I don't think I can help you. And he hung up the phone.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, but I did not stop. I did not let that deter me. So he was teaching a class on the principles of attraction. It was coming up. It was a big deal in the coaching world, this principles of attraction course with Thomas. So I decided to sign up for this class and do it. And I was a very active participant. I was answering questions, and I was really into it, and just really participating. And so one day, like the third or fourth session of the class, Thomas is teaching the class, and then he stops and he goes, I'm not sure really where we should go with this. He says, Dave Buck, do you have any ideas?
There's
150 people in this call. And he just called on me out of the blue, which he never called on people. So, you know, I said something. And so at the end of the class, I hang up the phone. Like 10 seconds later, my phone rings. I pick it up. It's Thomas Leonard. He's calling me now.
Oh, that's so great.
He goes, Dave Buck, oh, you really helped me out. Thanks a lot. I was stuck, and you bailed me out. That was great. I really appreciate that. Thanks a lot. And he hangs up.
That's it.
We're back on the class. He's talking and doing his thing, and then at some point along the way, he goes, Dave Buck, do you have anything you'd like to add? It was really bizarre. So he's coaching,
and he's training you, and you're not even clear that he's doing this at this point.
Yeah, I don't even know what's happening.
That's great.
So then I hang up the phone after the class. 10 seconds later, the phone rings again. It's Thomas Leonard calling me again. And I'm like, I pulled the phone away from my head. I'm like looking at the phone like, is this possible? I called this guy for months. Now he's calling me. So he said, oh, you really helped me out. That was great. So then he starts asking me questions about what should we do next week? What do you think about the class? Well, from that day forward, Thomas and I spoke on the phone almost every day till the day he died.
Oh, that's incredible.
We became best friends. We collaborated on everything. Thomas was a genius. He was an incredible man. He was truly the force behind the coaching industry. And something about he and I just clicked. We loved each other. We supported each other. We had great synergies of talent. He loved to create. I loved to teach. I'll never forget when we were going to do our first live event, because we had all phone stuff, and then we started Coachville together, and we decided to have a big conference for our new coaching material called the 15 Proficiencies and our Coachville coaching system, which Thomas and I had collaborated and created together. So we were going to have a big event in Las Vegas, and mostly it was going to be the Thomas show, right? He was going to be up there. There was about 1,000 people coming in, and it was a huge event. So I get to Las Vegas, and I was scheduled to lead a couple of the sessions, and I'm okay in front of a room, so I was happy to do that. So anyway, I get to Thomas's hotel room, and we're talking. He goes, oh, Dave, by the way, I forgot to tell you, you're co-leading the whole event with me. I said, what? He goes, no, I I'm not a good public speaker. I can't go up there alone. You got to come up there with me. I need you. I was like, all right, you know, if that's what you want, I'll be there. And so we went up on the stage together. It was really the Thomas show. I was basically like Ed McMahon. You know, he was Johnny Carson. I was Ed McMahon. I just did everything conceivable to make him look good. And whenever he would get stuck, I would jump in until he got it back on track. And so we started leading live events together, and we had incredible synergy on stage together. And we just had a great appreciation for each other, and it was one of the most remarkable days of my life. I remember what happened was Jennifer White, who was really an up and coming star in the coaching industry, just died at the age of 30 from a stroke.
How unfortunate!
It was a terrible thing. She had just published a book. She was a real light in the world, but her time had come, and so she passed away. And it was big news in the coaching industry. And Thomas called me that day. Dave, what would happen to Coachville if I died? You know, Jen just died out of the blue. What happens if I would die out of the blue? He goes, you know, you got to take care of Coach Phil for me if something ever happens. And I said, you know, of course, you can count on me. Don't worry about that, but don't die on me. You know, he said, oh, don't worry. I'm not going anywhere. And, you know, it was a strange day because, you know, not too long, about a year or so later, he just died suddenly of a heart attack.
Ouch.
He dropped dead. We had just led an event together. It was a beautiful event. We had a great time. He flew home. I flew home. I was talking to him on my cell phone the next day. I was going for a walk, talking to him. And we had a beautiful, you know, the universe is a remarkable thing. Thomas and I were talking on the phone. And we had, our relationship was really blossoming. We just were colleagues, but we were just really loving each other and appreciating each other and really doing great work. And we were talking on the phone, and he said, wow, Dave, you know, I'm just loving this so much, what we're doing together, and we have such big plans for Coach Phil, and it's going to be such a big force in the world. And we just started talking about the future of coaching and the future of Coach Phil. We just laid out all of these plans. And 3 hours later, he was dead.
And must have had a tremendous impact on you at that time. And
yes. He sure did. And so I feel very grateful. You know, I must say that living into Thomas's shoes has been a very daunting task.
And of course, for everybody on the call, when we keep mentioning Coachville, of course, for anybody that's not familiar, that's www.coachville.com, CoachVille. Please go check that out for sure, something you want to grab a hold of right away. Perhaps, Dave, you could share with us, what was Thomas's vision when he thought about coaching and the big plans that you both had, that you developed together? What was that vision?
Yes, it's a really good point. Well, as you mentioned earlier, Thomas was really the founder. Actually, Chris mentioned it, the founder of almost every major coaching organization. Thomas started it. The International Coach Federation, Coach U, which was the first school, then Coachville, which was the first online community for coaches, and now we have over 85,000 coaches around the globe are members of Coachville. We have about 25,000 that are highly active, so it's a huge organization. Thomas's vision, he had two. He had one that he publicly talked about, and one that he talked about a little bit, but he didn't really push it because he got a lot of pushback. But he did have this vision. I'll share both of them with you. So he had started the whole coaching movement and had done so much to create coaching. But he felt that there was a new way of coaching, that we needed to create a new methodology for coaching. And his vision was to improve the quality of coaching worldwide. That through a new methodology, we could teach people to coach better and faster than it had ever been done before. And we have created this methodology. I've been working on it feverishly since he passed away, and we now have it nailed. We call it the Coach to Win process, and we use the word two, T-W-O, kind of a play on words, Coach to Win, but also Coach to Win, meaning that both the coach and the player win when the coaching is done really well. So we've invented this methodology. Thomas and I started it. It was really Thomas's vision, for sure. And I helped him take it, you know, to where it was when he passed. And then I've carried on since then and have brought in many other really brilliant people to create this Coach to Win process. But really the idea to improve the quality of coaching worldwide. Now, Thomas's quiet vision was that everyone could be a coach. Everyone could be a coach. And that if everyone learned how to coach and was actively pursuing improving the quality of the lives of everyone around them through sharing their wisdom and experience, combining that with the skills and methods of coaching, which is really the process of helping other people win, if everyone learned how to do that, the world would be a magical place. So his vision was that everyone could coach. And I'm carrying that vision in my heart. And that's part of why I'm so excited about the Coach to Win process and the work we're doing at Coachville and teaching people how to coach. And I'll talk a little bit in a while about the Your Winning Season program, which is really taking this process and using it to help people win. Whatever their game is, we can help you win because we know how to help people win using the Coach to Win process. So whatever your game is, we can help you win that game. And then we can help you learn how to coach that game, which is so fulfilling when you learn how to play a game and master it, whether it's business or life. Then, once you reach a level of mastery, you want to teach others. And the best way to teach is actually to coach, to share what you've learned, but also to bring out the best in others at the same time. So that was really his vision, that everyone could learn how to coach. And I've been really pursuing that since he passed.
You know, that brings up such a big question. And the question is, for everyone on this call, who needs a coach? Is it something that everyone can benefit from? Is it something that all of us can use in our lives, whatever it is that our field of endeavor is? Who can truly be who of everybody out there, everybody on this call and the rest of the world, if you were to say everyone needs a coach, how would you define that?
Well, I would say it's a big question. And I just want to work with it a little bit because it's a big question. I don't think anyone needs a coach, but I think anyone playing a game that matters to them can truly benefit by having a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You don't need it. So people are fine. They don't need to be fixed. My fundamental notion about humanity is that human beings are perfect. They're delightful. They're joyous. And that there's nothing wrong, right? And you can pursue a vision of excellence and grace in something. Give your life to something that matters to you. And you can do more than one. You can pursue business. You can pursue community affairs. You can pursue religion. You can pursue anything. If you're going to pursue it, have a vision of excellence and grace and pursue it with everything you've got. And if you're willing to do that, if you're desirous of doing that, a coach is essential. Because as soon as you really pursue something that matters to you, what happens is your passion is equally balanced by inner conflict. It always works this way. Wherever your biggest passions lie also your biggest challenges. Because energy is always in balance. If you've got big passions, you've got big challenges. It's just the way it works. And when you've got big challenges, these challenges are not there to stop you. The challenges that come up when you pursue your passion are the challenges that are meant to be there for your growth as a human being. And so having a coach is essential to pursuing a vision, because most people, when they pursue a vision, when they get stuck, eventually they run out of gas and they stop. But when you have a coach who's helping you to really master the craft or master the game, to play the game full out, to keep score, whatever the thing is, like have a way of knowing if you're winning and losing. If you're losing, it's okay. Because every time you lose a game, you can learn and grow from it if you have a coach to help you. I think the reason so many people don't pursue their vision is because in the past when they've tried, they've gotten stuck, or they've given their heart to something and lost and didn't make it, and they had disappointment and setbacks. And when you're alone and you have a setback, it's devastating. But when you have a coach and you have a setback, that setback becomes a launching pad for growth and future victory. So I say, when everyone pursuing some vision of excellence and grace has a coach by their side, then every defeat becomes the launching pad of victory, and every victory becomes an opportunity for true celebration. And that's how life was meant to be lived. You're not supposed to win every game. But when you play to win, you get to experience the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And most of us know that our most powerful growth experiences came from times in our lives when things didn't go well. When we lost, or we had a defeat or a setback, those are some of the most cherished growth opportunities of our lives. But if you're alone, it just becomes a time of darkness. But if you have a coach, it becomes a time of growth. And that's what makes life so beautiful.
You know, it's so fabulous that you would mention this, and I couldn't possibly agree more. I had a chance to spend some time with three-time Olympian Ruben Gonzalez a week and a half ago. He's a great guy, right?
He is a great guy.
He's a great guy. And he was just sharing his experience of taking up the luge at age 21, living in Houston, Texas, flatlands of the United States, and how at every time that they're bolting down this sheet of solid ice at 80 miles an hour, it forces 6 G's pulling on their body all over the place, they would get to the bottom absolutely ready to quit. Every single time he was ready to quit, every time he got off that little sleigh that he basically described as lying on a piece of soap with no brakes at 80 miles an hour. he says they were trained. The first thing they did as they're shaking and ready to quit is walk over to the walkie-talkie and pick up and call the coach. Because the coach was the person who immediately said, you did this, you didn't do this, you did that, and put them right back on track. Obviously, we're talking about a gentleman who went to the Olympics 3 times, huge aspirations, as you suggested, and I couldn't agree with you more. The world is such a delightful, wonderful, joyous, amazing place full of incredible beings, and if our intent is to go to the Olympics of life, a coach can just play such a powerful role. And in that regard, how do you, when you're coaching, help people identify what they're passionate about and then get aligned with that purpose, with that passion, to help them make their dreams come true?
Well, it's a big question, really.
I keep throwing big questions at you, man.
Yeah,
it's my
you're
job.
Good at that. First of all, I love Ruben also, and I have to say, I think in many ways life is like going down 80 miles an hour on a piece of soap on ice. You know, in a way, life is like that. It's just moving. It's fast. It's happening. It's visceral. It's like, yes, life is happening. And before I get to your question, I just have to say I was invited to a super early preview of the new movie that's coming out this summer based on the book The Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Mm.
And it's a Dan Millman book. It's a fabulous book. It's one of my all-time favorites.
Mine too.
And so they made a movie out of it.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Nick Nolte plays Socrates, and he's magical. Oh, he's so good. The movie is brilliant. I can't wait for it to come out. And just as a little plug, I'm so excited because this is a little thing that shows that coaching is actually happening, and it's becoming an industry to be reckoned with. The PR team of the movie called me and asked me if I would be willing to show a super sneak preview of the film at our national annual conference in Chicago in May, because they want coaches to see this film to help create buzz around the world. So
Wow. That
is exciting to me. So if you can come to Chicago for our annual conference, and all the information is on our website, you'll get to see The Peaceful Warrior before anybody else.
Wow.
So that is really exciting. The film is beautiful, and it's all about seeking what's in your heart and living life fully, but playing to win, not just going through the motions, playing to win with what really matters to you. But playing to win in a way that also is where you're living in the moment, pursuing your vision of excellence and grace, but not being attached to come.
And you know, it's amazing because it is Socrates who in fact was a great coach himself to Plato, who ended up being the voice behind most of the writings that ended up coming from Socrates were because they were written down by Plato. So pretty amazing stuff. And Nick Nolte strikes me as a guy who's lived his life at about 80 miles an hour.
Yes, indeed. It is so true. And he plays the part brilliantly. So anyway, I mentioned the movie because, first of all, I'm excited about them wanting us to show it at the conference, and we are showing it, which is going to be really exciting. But this is, the whole idea is, what is in your heart, right? What is it that you're here to do? Now, there's a little caveat I have to say. As a coach, I must say, a lot of people I've coached really get hung up on this life purpose idea. Like, I don't know what my life purpose is. You don't have to know. You don't have to have a life purpose. You just need to have a now purpose. I think this is important. Because a lot of people get stuck because they don't know what their life purpose is. You don't have to know. If you just know what your purpose is now and you live for it, that that is enough. So what I do is I talk with people, and basically I use the language of coaching. And in my language of coaching, a coach is here to help you play to win the game that you want to play. So what I do is I ask people what their game is. What is your game? What are you trying to do right now? What means something to you now? Maybe it's getting a better job. Maybe it's pursuing a business opportunity. Maybe it's becoming a leader in your church or in your community, or running for an office, or having a better relationship with your spouse. Whatever is meaningful for you now, that's where we start. And then we talk about, okay, that is your game. Why are you playing this game? And what does winning look like? If you know why you're playing a game, which is, why does this mean something to you now? It doesn't have to be from the past. It doesn't mean you're going to play this game for the rest of your life. Just think about now. What matters now? And then, when you understand, it's a game. It's a game. Play it. Play it like a game, which means have fun. Pursue it, you know, with an eye towards mastery, but have fun. And so then we talk about, what does winning look like? And then we look at, what are your strengths? What are your characteristics? What are your talents? What assets do we bring to the table to help you win? But also, what are the skills of the game? And what are the practices? What do you need to get better at each and every day in order to play this game better? And then you pursue the practice. And that's really one of the things that makes life so fulfilling, is when you are pursuing mastery of something, anything. Pursue your vision of excellence and grace in something that matters, and then learn the skills. And then as a coach, I have a particular methodology that I use to help people pursue mastery of something. It starts with desire. You have to have desire, or we might say passion. Then you have to know the theory. What is the theory behind this thing? If it's business, you got to read up on business. If it's relationships, you got to read up on relationships. If it's coaching, you got to learn a little bit about coaching. So you have to learn the theory. Then you have to learn the method. How do you do it? What is the method behind this thing you want to do? I think a lot of times people try to do something without studying a little bit about the theory and learning a method. They just jump in, and then when they don't do well, they wonder why. Because anything you're going to pursue mastery of, or pursue a vision of excellence, you've got to pay the price and put your time into it. Put your energy into it. So you have to learn a method. Then you seek you continue to seek information and experiences of learning. And then ultimately it's about practice and performance. So it's desire, theory, method, information, you know, or observation. It's like, really, sometimes I say information, sometimes I say observation. It's good to observe others who are doing it. Like, go watch other people, whether it's relationship or business or whatever. Go observe. Humans learn best by observing others. So go observe, and then practice and perform. So as a coach, I help my players set up opportunities to go through all of those steps to pursue whatever their game is.
And if we go back to the beginning, when you're talking about desire, yes, it's such a powerful word, and I'm a big word guy. As a writer, yes, I'm always looking at words and the origin of words. You look at the word desire, and it's desire or desire, and talking about that anger, that balance that you were talking about earlier. Great obstacles are going to portend great good. Anytime we want to take on a big job, you got to know that there's going to be some big challenges. How do you help the person says they have the desire, and probably there is some dark side fueling a piece of that, at least if there's enough burning, like Ruben says, let me find the sport where there's the most broken bones, because most people will quit faster than I will, that type of a state. How do you help that person take that desire and overcome the fear to get them in motion?
Getting at to the heart, really the juicy heart of coaching, which is the inner game. The inner game is the game, and the inner game is all about your thoughts, feelings, and emotions, or what I would call patterns of energy. And when when you're coaching someone, you have to know that there's a price to be paid for every victory. That's just the reality of playing to win, is that there's a price to be paid. There's something you will have to give up. There's something you will have to do. There's always a price to be paid. Now, when you talk about the inner game, really what you're looking at is, as a coach, you have to help the individual just find the things that are blocking them. They may have thoughts that are not consistent with what they're trying to do. They may have feelings. They may have energies within them. They may be conscious blocks. They may be subconscious blocks. There's all kinds of things that get in the way. And a coach has to have tools and techniques to help identify these things within their client, within the player, to release them. And when, as soon as you release these blocks, that becomes the fuel to actually pursue your desire. So depending on the size of the desire, you will always have blocks that are the same size. That you can take to the bank. That's a fact. What people don't realize is most people think, oh, I have so much passion. Why am I getting stuck? It should be easy. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there about, like, effortless this and effortless that. Effortlessness is bull crap.
How do you really feel about that, Dave?
I'm just telling you right now, there ain't no such thing as effortless. Anything of value takes effort. It doesn't have to be painful necessarily, but there is effort. You have to put your energy into it, and you have to be willing to explore these thoughts and energies and feelings from the past that get in the way, and you have to have, you know, a way of releasing them, letting them go, so that you can actually achieve the desire. And when you do, that's what gives achievement its meaning, is when you had to overcome obstacles to get there.
And as you're coaching coaches, how do you help them embrace and get over the gobbledygook? Because I could not possibly be more on the same page. You just don't get something for nothing in this world. But the laws of the universe don't work that way. There's a universality, a cause and effect, and if the desired result, the desired victory is great, then we know that the desired opposition is also going to be equally great, and even that in victory is the cause for the next defeat, as in defeat is the learning that becomes the cause for the next victory.
Always.
How do you do that? How do you get your coaches, the people that are relatively new, because obviously now you're teaching teachers of teachers,
yes.
How do you get them to embrace this fundamental issue that winning is an inside-out job, and yes, you're going to have to pay, so you may as well embrace the notion?
Well, this is a great question. So I train lots of coaches, and there are many answers to your question. Now, I'll share with you many things, and I'll just lay a couple things out on the table. So one thing is, when I work with new coaches, I always say beginner coaches solve problems. Intermediate coaches collaborate with the player or client to solve problems. And masterful coaches cause problems. Okay? So you want to get to the point of mastery, because a masterful coach will cause problems for their players. They'll challenge them. They will seek to inspire them to pursue bigger and bigger games, which will cause them to go inward and find deeper and deeper places within themselves to continue to grow. So when I work with coaches, I teach them a five-step coaching process, this coach to win process, which basically helps them as a coach to learn about how to help the player identify the game they're playing, why they're playing this game. That's the first step, clarify focus. The second step is what I call personalized learning and planning, which is where you help the player to study the skills of the game and the strategies of the game and to learn the techniques and to pursue whatever needs to be learned to be one in this game. So I teach the coaches how to do this. And teaching in this way is a real art form, because you have to know when to share your wisdom but also when to draw out the wisdom of your player, because we all have this inherent wisdom that we can tap into. So a coach has to both share their wisdom effectively and concisely. also draw out the wisdom of the player.
Indeed.
Then you work into the third step of the coaching process, which is the part we've been talking about, expand awareness. This is where you have to, as a coach, you have to have the tools to work the inner game, which is to find the conscious and subconscious blocks, the thoughts and feelings and energies of the past that get in the way of taking the action that is needed. And often in this time, the coach has to have a way to help the player find the perfection of the moment. This is what the inner game is all about. The inner game is always about seeing the perfection of the moment. Another way of saying that, Napoleon Hill, in fact, in his great book, said that the thing that set apart the most successful people in the world was that they always found the opportunity in any challenge. They could turn any challenge into an opportunity. Any struggle could be seen, could have the seed of some great gift. And so that's what the most successful people in the world have always done. But sometimes it's so hard to see. When you're in the midst of a struggle, when you're in the midst of a dark time, when you're in the dark night of the soul, it's really hard to sit and think, okay, now how is this serving me?
Right?
How is this perfect? How is this actually the exact perfect thing I need right now to reach my desire? And as a coach, you have to be persistent in helping your players find that perfection.
And even when we look at the biographies of every great person, every great athlete, every great achievement, you always find the same trajectory, the same sequence, which is, I have a dream, I'm going to encounter big obstacles, and only after overcoming them will I ever find that huge victory that I'm looking for. Ergo, if I really break that down, it would make sense that I should embrace the obstacles because those are the very things that are going to get me to that great victory.
Yes, exactly. And so,
how do you help your people, or how do you help the people that you coach and also help the people that are coaching, all the coaches that you're coaching, really allow the coachees, the people who are receiving the coaching, the people who are seeking the help, how do you help them understand and measure their personal victories, their personal successes?
Well, this is a great question. Let me just finish the piece I was just talking about before. I have a little piece I want to add on to that, and then I'll get to that because it's a very good question. So, as a coach, like I said, there's a five-step process. I just didn't want to leave us in step three.
Thank you.
So
I Thank
just
you.
Want to finish it up. And I do also want to say that this inner game piece, I have a collaborator. Her name is Lee Janelle. She's a great friend of mine, and she's a master of the inner game. And she and I have been working together for a few years, and she has really helped with this part of our coaching process. And she has an incredible program called the Extreme Freedom Program, I just wanted to mention, because she's really, her techniques and skills around finding perfection have really perfected our coaching model. So I just have to give her credit for that.
Thank you.
Now, once you work the inner game, then you have to work the outer game. We call this environmental design. And this is where, after you find what's happening inside of you, you need to work on the world around you, because the world around you needs to become a reflection of who you're becoming on the inside. Most people don't do this part. They think if they just do the inside stuff and they change, then everything is just supposed to get better. But it takes a long time for the outside world to become a reflection of what's inside of you. It does happen, but it takes a long time. So as coaches, what we do, what I teach my coaches to do, is to help their players create an environment that is a reflection of what they're learning on the inside. And actually to design the world around you so that what we call it, brings your game to life. And most people have had the experience where you go to some workshop or something, you have this great inner experience, and then you think when you go home it's going to be different. And what happens? It's never different. And in fact, usually within a week or two, it's like you never even went to the workshop. And this happens 98% of the time. And the reason this is because the world around you right now is a reflection of the old you. And we always adapt very quickly to the environment. So you go to this new environment, the workshop, you have a big experience, all this inner stuff, you think, oh, I've changed. But really, you haven't changed that much. You've just adapted to a new environment of the workshop. Then when you go home, what happens? You adapt to the environment of your home and office, which was a reflection of the old you, and, right, what happens? You're your old self again.
Exactly.
So in order to make sustainable change, you have to redesign the world around you quickly to reflect the changes you're making on the inside. Make changes in your relationships. Hang out with different people. Make changes in your home, your office, anything to reflect the new you. It's a very creative process, and we teach coaches how to do this. And this is what makes coaching such a powerful, sustainable process, because you're changing not only the inside of the person, but also the world around them. And then finally, the part that you just mentioned is we call it evaluate progress. And this is where you look at the game you're playing, and you find out if you're winning or losing based on how you set the game up in the beginning. Because as a coach, in life coaching, business coaching, executive coaching, the game is not already defined. The players make up the game, right? The players decide what game they want to play and what winning looks like. But you still have to evaluate progress and say, okay, are we winning or losing? If we are winning, let's celebrate.
That's right.
Let's have some fun. Let's make sure we enjoy the victories. Let's make sure we enjoy our progress. And that's what so few people do. We're so caught up in achievement and the pressures of our lives, we don't take the time to celebrate, which is we teach our coaches, evaluate progress. If you win, celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
And if
backflips
lose,
like the soccer players.
Exactly. Like when you score a goal in a soccer game, you go nuts.
That's right.
Right? It's part of the fun. Right? So if you score a goal in your business, go nuts.
Isn't it interesting how we have a hard time, especially in North America? I'm sure you've heard a million times that overseas announcers, when they score a goal, it goes something like,
wild.
Go, 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 go,
oh, goal.
That's right.
You know, but, you know, at least in baseball, they go a little bit crazy for a home run, too.
That's right, they do.
It's a question of where do you put your energy, but this is the thing. It's like, let's celebrate, folks.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to celebrate, you've got to define the game up front. And I think this is why people don't celebrate. They have fuzzy objectives. They have overly ambitious expectations for themselves. I think this is one of the biggest problems in our culture today because of the technology and also the self-help revolution. We've gotten this idea that we should just be able to accomplish these amazing things, which we can. But what's happened is our expectations have gotten so high, we never meet them.
Right.
And we have people, they're actually doing incredible things with their lives, but inside, they feel like they're falling behind.
Right.
It's an incredible thing. So this is why coaches have to be skillful at doing what I call design a winnable game.
Right.
A winnable game is a game that's a challenge, but it is winnable.
Mm-hmm.
And most people are playing unwinnable games.
You know, Dave, it's amazing. I was literally, it doesn't surprise me anymore, yet in such a loving, incredible fashion, I am constantly in awe and wonder at the way we come together as human beings. This very morning, I'm working on our next prosperity course, and here are the words that came out from somewhere. It said, the study of prosperity consciousness involves a continuous balance between the inner game, how we keep ourselves clear, motivated, and on target, and the outer game, how we execute the activities in the physical world that deliver the results we desire. Both aspects become essential to any enduring enterprise. If we can't manage our inner game, we go off track by definition. If we can't manage our outer game, we will never take sufficient action to get the flywheel to start spinning. We must master both. This morning, that's this morning's writings. If you could, give to our all the people that are on this call right now two or three action steps that they could take this week to begin applying these principles that you've given to us so freely, what would they be?
Well, I think the most important thing is to know your game. What game are you playing right now? And then think of it as a game. So if it's a game, what is winning? What? How do you win this game? Have a definite understanding, a definition of what winning looks like for your game. So first, what game are you playing? Second, what does winning look like? And then, third, really look and ask yourself, am I playing to win? Am I playing to win? And what would that mean? What would playing to win be? What would I be doing differently if I was really playing to win? Most people are just going through the motions. They're playing or playing not to lose. And so you got to ask yourself, am I really playing to win? And if I am playing to win, then you have a whole different outlook on life. If you're truly playing to win, you will find a coach.
That's right.
That's the truth. The way you know if you're playing to win in the game is, do you have a coach? That's the barometer. And that may sound self-serving, but I mean it.
And I echo the sentiment. I think I have a coach for everything. The physical coach, the speaking coach, the voice coach, and the life coach for me is a mentor.
Yes, if you are playing to win, you will have a coach because a coach is there to help you win. Most people, see, this is one of the problems we have in our culture. It's a beautiful thing, but it's also a challenge. The beautiful thing is we're self-motivated, we're can-do, we say, yes, I can do it, and I can do it myself. But the way the world is today, you can't do it alone. Because you have a big vision, you have a desire to do something with your life that is very meaningful. You can't do it alone. You need people on your team. So there's two pieces of that. You need people on your team. So you need a coach, first of all. If you're going to play to win, have a coach. But then, if you're going to build a team around you, where you're doing your best work and they're doing their best work and it's all serving some big vision together, then you also need to learn how to coach, because coaching is bringing out the best in your players. So this goes back to Thomas's original vision, is that everyone can be a coach. And my vision is that everyone has a coach. So put the two together. If everyone has a coach and everyone learns how to coach, now not everyone needs to be a professional coach. That's for only a few. Just not like everyone is a chiropractor, not everyone is a doctor, not everyone is a professional coach. But the skills of coaching and the process and method of it, anyone can learn and use if you're a manager, leader, anything like that. So the idea is know your game, define what winning looks like, and then play to win.
I love that. And then play to win. And again, for everyone out there, the website to go check out is www.coachville.com, and what an incredible event upcoming in May as well, which is also on that website. Now, one of the things that Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise is a strong proponent and believer in is the power of intention that serves to manifest outcomes that we desire. And so that we can all of us that are on this call tonight and who listen to the recording of this call that we're doing this evening can support you and what you're doing, what is the most important project that you're working on today, and what intention would you like Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, all of us, to hold for that project?
Well, that's a great question. Let me tell you, I can tell you very quickly. First, I want to just quickly mention a few other websites.
Great.
Just for people
Thank
to
you.
Know, great resources. So Coachville.com is our main site. The site that has a lot of the content I've been talking about today is called YourWinningSeason.com, www.YourWinningSeason.com. And Lee Janelle's site, who does the inner game stuff that I was talking about, is GetAVibrantLife.com. And those are all great, great resources. So YourWinningSeason.com and GetAVibrantLife.com. Now, my intention, the vision I am living towards, is very simple. Everyone, everywhere, as a coach by 2010.
That's big. Everyone, everywhere has a coach by 2010.
Yes.
We will hold that with you powerfully to make that manifest in our physical world. Before we wrap, and we're kind of drawing to the close of this call this evening, if you could, Dave Buck, one single idea that you would like to leave our listeners all over the world with, what would that idea be?
Yes, I'll tell you exactly what it is. Live your game and play to win.
Live your game and play to win. I love that. Let's just repeat that for everybody to internalize, possibly even jot down and stick on your mirror to look at every day while you're brushing your teeth.
Yes.
Live your game and play to win.
That's it.
Wow. Fantastic. Well, Dave, thank you so much for sharing of yourself, of your vision, of your knowledge and wisdom, and also your tremendous passion for life. There's not a person that was on this call or who will listen to this recording who's not going to catch the infection of the Dave Buck passion for life, the amazing things that you're doing all over the world. I really, really want to thank you on behalf of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise and all of the people that are out there. Thanks so much for sharing your life with all of us. And with that, we'll turn the call back over to our host, Mr. Chris Atwood.
Thank you so much. You were great.
Rich Lee, thank you for that. And you were great. And for those of our listeners who want to learn more about Rich Lee's prosperity community, be sure and go to www.modesttomillions.com. And you were an amazing interviewer with an amazing guest. Dave, you thank you for your vision.
My pleasure.
It's such a delight to hear you with such clarity express really what it takes to create success. And I love the title of the course you used to teach, the joy and success, right?
Joy of business.
The joy of business.
Yes.
The joy of business. Well, because joy is really at the basis of it, isn't it?
Yes.
And you express that in everything you do. And so I, again, just want to encourage our readers and listeners to check out your website at coachville.com, CoachVille.com. And then, as Dave mentioned, also yourwinningseason.com, yourwinningseason.com. And the last one was
getavibrantlife.com.
Getavibrantlife.com. So wonderful resources. Dave, thank you again for being our guest tonight.
My pleasure.
And for our listeners, I invite you to join us again in a couple of weeks. On May 2nd, we will be having another incredible interview. We will be interviewing Immaculée Elibagiza, who survived the Rwanda Holocaust by hiding out in a bathroom for 90 days. She went through an incredible transformational experience, as you might imagine. Dr. Wayne Dyer, who many of you heard us interview in January, will be conducting that interview because he is in such awe of Immaculée and what she has gone through. In fact, he urged us to interview Immaculée, who's latest book, Left to Tell, Discovering God Amidst the Rwanda Holocaust, is now on the New York Times bestseller list. So that's on May 2nd. And then on May 16th, we'll be here with Bill Harris of Centerpoint Research Institute. We'll be interviewing James Ray, who calls himself a practical mystic. He's a self-made millionaire. James is also a member of the Transformational Leadership Council, along with Dave and myself, and James has incredible stories of his spiritual quest as well as his business quest as he went to the Amazon jungles, studying under shamans, going to Egypt, and spending time in the caves that Moses dwelled in as when he went to the top of Mount Sinai. Just amazing, amazing stories. So that, again, will be an incredible interview on May 16th, and we look forward to being with you all then as well. So for all of our listeners, I'm going to open up the line. Thank you all for your commitment to living your passions, to giving your gifts to the world. And we'll say goodnight now. Thank you, everyone.
Good night. Thank you. Good night.